It's a story Alaskans know well. Natives lived here for centuries, respecting the environment. Then the Russians showed up with a very different philosophy and quickly wiped out Alaska resources. For Anchorage author Charles Woolforth, the familiar tale highlights the conflicted relationship humans have with the planet. He takes a look at that relationship in his new book, The Fate of Nature: Rediscovering Our Ability to Rescue the Earth. Woolforth says, researching the book, he discovered the best environmental decisions are made at the local level.
And I think that's almost an Alaska truism. The fishermen tried to get double-hulled tankers in Prince William Sound before the pipeline was built. They were overruled by the federal government, by the courts. And if that Exxon Valdez had been a double-hulled tanker, it would have turned out very differently. So a lot of times these things will bubble up from the bottom level. And this is where, you know, I'm not a Tea Partier and I'm not a conservative, not from that point of view, but I think there is something to be said for going back to the concept of federalism, where local people get more power over their own communities. With power comes responsibility and a desire to care. And I don't think that these big national solutions often work very well.
The spill in the Gulf will have environmental ripple effects for decades. Even though the book was written before this blowout, you covered the Exxon Valdez. How do these things factor in?
To me, it points to the need to look at this more systematically. I'm not interested in politicians telling me we're going to get better blowout preventers, we're going to get more boom, we're going to do a better job next time. We've already heard that before. What we need to start talking about is changing the system by which we relate to the environment, not saying we need new politicians in the same offices, but saying we need things like Regional Citizens Advisory Council in Prince William Sound, which has worked. The other thing you see is, just like in Prince William Sound, everybody all over the country uses the oil, but the people who pay the price for the disaster are those local people. Same thing in the Gulf of Mexico. We all use the oil and we all feel bad about the spill, but the ones who are really paying the price are those fishermen and those motel owners down on the shore of the Gulf of Mexico. And so they really ought to have the power to protect themselves beforehand.
What did you discover in the Native community as they became corporate owners? How or has it changed the tenets of environmental awareness and concern?
Well, I think that, you know, the whole story of the Alaska Native Claims Land Act is such a long and complex one. But a really deep part of it is this change into a corporate culture, which is really, I think most ANCSA CEOs would tell you, is really incompatible with Native culture and with Native lifeways. It's Oliver Levitt, who is the former chairman of Arctic Slope Regional Corporation, told me, we live in Nupiaq lifeway. Then when we get in the boardroom, we live the corporate competitive way. And that's how it has to work, because that's the world they're in. When it comes to dealing with natural resources, I don't think that's served a lot of Native corporations really well. I look at the way timber was treated in Southeast Alaska during the big NOL sales as it was being liquidated. And I don't think that really reflected the philosophy of those cultures as those, you know, trees were liquidated. And you hear them defended, and I'm sure that's a controversial point of view and people will be offended by it. What do I have to interpret their philosophies? But I've spent a lot of time in Native communities and I've talked to elders, and I think I understand what the basic philosophy of that lifeway is. And I don't think it has to do with liquidating your resources and selling them overseas. So there is an incompatibility there, and it's obviously a huge struggle, and it's really one of the biggest stories of Alaska culture and the future of how those are resolved.
And how about personally, Charles? What did you learn in this research and writing? Were you surprised to learn there's more concern than not, or disappointed to learn that there is less among people you interviewed?
I would say it's very rare to find somebody who doesn't feel a real connection to nature and to wildlife and a real desire to see it survive on this planet. And that is ultimately what gives me hope. We all discount that. We all discount our positive feelings and our positive desire to do good for the world and think of, well, that's not the real world, or that's not real human nature. But, you know, if we all feel that way, then there's something real there. And I really think it's a matter of changing our systems and our relationships and our society to where some of more of our positive wishes really are carried through. I think it's as simple as that. And in that way, it comes down to every single individual and how we relate to each other, how we build communities, and how our communities relate to nature.
Charles Woolforth's new book is called The Fate of Nature.